So it's unscriptural to put an if in every prayer. So if we think that this is correct, we are wrong. Some people think that you can add if, the word if, to every prayer or at the end of every praying time. They say if it's his will. So it's very unscriptural. For example, let's take salvation, for example. You wouldn't pray, Lord, save Johnny, if it's your will. That would not be appropriate. It would be scripturally wrong. And, you know, God, because the Bible says that God wants all men to be saved. Everyone to be saved. Every person to be saved. So you wouldn't say, Lord, save him if it's your will. So you know what the will is. So if you're going to pray for something, you shouldn't add if to every situation when you're praying. So they're applying a different rule or misappropriating a certain rule for a different kind of prayer and then trying to insert it into the prayer of faith. That's not going to work. So that's what people are doing today, and they're having they're not having success in their prayer time, and they're not confident in their prayer time because, first of all, they don't know what the prayer principle is and what the rule is that applies to a specific prayer. There are various kinds of prayers the Bible indicates. Let's take a look at seven here. We kind of added a few more in our teaching because we kind of cut up a few other ones to add on to them because we use them, say, for instance, the prayer of binding and loosing. So that's not on this list. So here's the general kind of rules. First of all, the prayer of faith. That's one prayer that we should learn about. In fact, this prayer you need to learn because it covers all the other prayers, or it kind of intersects with all the other prayers. Number two is the prayer of consecration, dedication, and submission. It's the same thing. It's three words. The prayer of consecration. That's the prayer that Jesus prayed when he was dedicating his life to God and submitting to God's will. And then there's the prayer of commitment, which we are going to talk about and get more specific about. The prayer of commitment is when you begin to cast your cares and burdens on the Lord. We're going to look at that one. The prayer of praise and worship, which we just did, there are rules for that. There are things that you have to do with the prayer of praise and worship. Every one of us should learn about what the prayer of praise and worship is. It's not just singing only when you have your favorite song. It's more than just singing your favorite song. So we want to look at that at some point. So there's another prayer called the prayer of agreement. A lot of times people call you for the prayer of agreement and they want you to pray. No, they should be praying and you should agree with them. So you might be praying over their faith and they might not believe where you're at. So you have to ask them where their faith's at. So prayer of agreement is good to know. When someone says, pray for me, and you say, so what about and what scripture are you standing on? First of all, then you get to know where they're at, where their faith is at, so you can come in agreement with them. And so don't be quick to ask to pray for somebody if they say, pray with me. You need to ask them some questions first and to indicate to them, or at least for you to learn where they're at, what they're standing on, what they're believing for. And so some people say, well, do I have to tell you? Well, yes. How am I going to agree with something I don't know what I'm agreeing about? How do I know if you're being unscriptural? Ask for something stupid. So you have to understand those things. So there's a prayer of agreement. So there's another prayer called the prayer of praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. And there's an appropriate way to use praying in tongues. Some charismatics use that prayer in tongues just a cop-out because they don't want to pray and use their mind and learn scripture, learn about the Bible and pray the Bible and then pray in the Spirit where you don't know what to cover. So there's so many things you could learn about when it comes to praying in the Spirit. A lot of times people, when they worship God, they start praying in the Spirit right away. Well, that's one aspect of praying and worshiping God, but there's other ways. You can worship God with your own tongue and tell God how much you appreciate Him, how much you love Him. And so there's another prayer called united prayer. That's when we all get together and pray for one thing at the same time, going in the same direction with one purpose in mind, one goal in mind, and praying in unison. You don't come to a prayer meeting with your own agenda. You pray with whatever, who else is leading that group, and you pray along with them, and you believe with them, and you stick with them, and then you're using your faith with them. So why would you want to go to a prayer of agreement if you're just going to bring your prayer request? No, you're coming there to help them people pray. Usually this kind of praying is usually in a crisis situation where the world is turning upside down and they're having war or they're killing Christians or something. This is not just any kind of use this prayer any kind of time. Look at the scriptures. United praying is always used for that when there's a real great world crisis and affecting the whole Christian church and everybody around the world. So most of the time you're praying only, you need to learn how to pray yourself. You know, Matthew 6:5, I believe 6:8 says that when you enter your closet, go to your own closet and pray. So you need to have your own prayer time. Philippians 4:6 says, lifting up your request, not your neighbor's request, not your friend's request, your request. That means you should have your own prayer life and learn how to pray on your own. Praise God. Amen? So that's just about praying, the various kinds of prayers. So we can add on to this thing that praying, the praying of binding and loosing, learning how to bind the devil and loose the angels of God, loose the power of God on the scene. There's that kind of praying as well. So we'll cover some of those on another time, but we'd give you 7 there. We talked about 26 kinds of prayer. No, I'm just kidding. No. We have these certain kind of rules that we need to learn. So first of all, know what prayer is. So we're starting on the low stratum here of prayer. So what is prayer? We all need to know the fundamental aspects of what prayer is before we ever get started to pray. Before we utter a single sentence in prayer, we'll have to know what prayer is in its basic form, because before we attempt to offer any kind of prayer. What is it? Many think that even in church, that prayer is just asking God for something or making a request to God. It's more than that. Yes, you know, that's one kind of prayer, making requests, but that's not the only one. Someone said praise is the highest type of praying that one can do because it's fellowshipping with God. Prayer is need. Prayer is our need. What is prayer? It's our need expressed to God. That's what prayer is our need expressed to God. It's a spiritual exercise. When you pray, you're exercising your faith. Prayer is taking your place in God, in God's family, and within the body of Christ. That's what prayer is. You're taking your part. You're doing your part. Prayer is fellowshipping with God or talking with God, talking to God, listening to God. Prayer is carrying out His will upon the earth. So when you're praying, God is using you as a vessel to bring His will. God has no authority on earth unless you allow Him. You're the only person that can allow God to come in, because He's not the God of this world right now. One day He's going to take over again. But the devil is the God of this world. We're going to talk about that later on. Prayer is joining forces with God. Prayer is getting into His presence and living in His presence every day, every minute, every hour, all the time. Prayer is not just one thing that you do for 1 hour or 2 minutes or 5 minutes. No, that's when you express your time, your request, or talk to God more specifically. Prayer is like breathing. Prayer is something you do regularly, all day, all night. That's what I do. I don't know about you. I pray all the time. I never stop praying. There's times I have my prayer time and I pray for an hour. I pray for a few minutes at a time. Or sometimes I pray for 15 minutes, half an hour. Sometimes I pray for an hour. Sometimes, most of the time, I pray in the Spirit. It's the best way to pray, especially, when you utter it all you have to. So let's talk about the prayer of commitment now. What is the prayer of commitment? Well, the prayer of commitment, as indicated one of the 7 that we mentioned, prayer of commitment is casting your cares, your worries, and your anxieties upon God. I hear people say this all the time in our day. He said, my anxieties. My anxieties are killing me. My anxieties, I have a problem with anxiety. So, they're talking about anxieties all the time. Bible says we shouldn't have anxieties. That we shouldn't be anxious all the time. Well, you need a doctor to help you to have, I talk to people very close to me that are on medications, and they're always talking about anxieties, and friends are talking about anxieties. And if they get into God, I notice that they don't talk to God much. They don't read their Bible, go to church, or anything like that, but they talk about their anxieties. So maybe they get to God and you'll have no anxieties at one point. I believe that 100%. And I remember when I was having a hard time over there many years ago with my anxieties, someone told me, you don't need to take pills. You need to learn how to get with God. Start talking to God. And, you know, when you release your life to God, then you don't have that, you know, unsettledness inside you, knowing that God's going to take care of you, every needs. So, let's look at 1 Peter 5, 7. It says, 1 Peter 5, 7, King James says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He didn't say cast some of it, cast the little ones, cast only the natural ones. He says casting all your cares. All your cares. So every one of them, God doesn't want you to have any kind of care. When you look at the King, when you look at the Amplified Version, you're going to see, give us a little bit more enlightenment in a moment. The Amplified says this. It's a great translation because it takes a key verse and key phrase of that Bible verse and amplifies it for us in our modern day vernacular. 1 Peter 5, 7 Amplified says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, 20 times, at least 20 times. No? What does it say? It says once and for all. This is something you do. So if you're not doing this right, if you have to do the same thing to care again, then you don't know what the prayer of faith is, and you don't know what the prayer of casting your care upon the Lord is. So you have to go back to the basic and find out, what am I doing that's not right? Why am I still carrying this thing? So that you, if you want to grow, you have to understand these things. If you don't, you're going to be stuck there for 25, 30 years or never learn it. There's no skipping grades. You're going to have to learn this. So he says, you cast your care, whatever care you have, you do it one time. And you have to make sure you've done it good. I didn't say that you're going to be tempted to take it back, because you're going to have a lot of temptation to take that worry back, or that care, or that anxiety back. So watch this. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on your wife. No. Your husband. No. On him, on God. Put it on the government. No. On the Lord. So you put it on God. You put your, you aim your, you know, vessel in the right place. He says, for he cares for you. One of the things the disciples said to Jesus when they were on the boat and about ready to die, apparently, they said, don't you care for us? And a lot of times in the middle of a trial, we tell God, don't you? God doesn't really care. And the devil talks to you, and you think it's you talking to yourself. Well, the devil's talking to you. He's very clever. He sounds just like you. And he'll tell you, oh, you know, you should really feel bad. You need to take some worries here. And then you start feeling sorry for yourself. You get into a pity party. We'll talk about that some more again. And watch this. So the prayer of faith is a prayer of petition or asking God. It's a prayer that changes things when you pray the prayer of faith. It's a prayer that changes things. You can't be in faith as long as you're worrying. So if you're going to worry, you can't start praying yet, because you need to deal with worry first before you start praying. For instance, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but Philippians 4:6 says, drop the New Living Translation up there for a second, because I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself. Philippians 4:6. Let's look at that verse of scripture. Don't worry about anything. So I hear Brother Higgins say this one time. He said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. But when it talks about, you know, this is the New Living Translation. He said, you know, the first part of it is don't worry about anything. So it means it's probably because you already know about God. You know that he cares for you. You know that he loves you. When you know that somebody loves you and cares for you, you're not going to worry about whatever you, if you're going to go to God and you know, that he's not going to turn you away. So that leaves a whole pile of people out there because they're worried, and then they pray. It says instead there. That's not in the original instead. The word instead is not in the original language there, but it says don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Pray about everything. So one person told me one years and years ago when I joined the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, he said to me, if you worry, pray. And if you pray, why worry? And kind of it made sense to me at that point. But I learned something extra over the years. How many people learn something extra over the years? I'm going to tell you something. You're hearing this message right now. 5 years' time, you hear the same message. I guarantee you won't hear the same thing. Because you listen at a level of your understanding. If you talk to a 10-year-old kid, you talk to a 25-year-old kid, they're talking about a certain kind of level of learning there. So when I was in Bible school, listening to Brother Hagin speak, and I've already been in ministry, and listening to the kids, they were hearing at a totally different level. I can see them playing, chewing gum, writing notes, and talking while Brother Hagin's talking. I hope Luke is not doing that. I'd have to ask him. And totally different level of hearing. It's amazing how it happens, right? So any one of us, I'm of course, growing up, you talk to your parents, and that's why it's hard for us as older people with our children. You know, we try to talk to our kids and try to force them to understand something that they can't understand. You can give advice to a young adult if they're on their own, but they're not going to understand you fully because you're speaking from a 50-year-old, 60-year-old mind. Those guys are 20 years old, 15 years old. They don't understand what you're talking about. You might as well jibber-jabber to them. But you can give instructions to people, and if they understand obedience, they don't have to understand everything. They just have to obey what you said. The same thing with God. If God says something, go ahead and do it. You don't understand it. That's what Pastor Dave talked about this morning about giving. God will tell you to give something, and you said, that don't make sense. I remember a time when the Lord said to me, give money to somebody. Go to someone's house, go to this house this afternoon, and I want you to go drop off $100 to that person. I said, they don't need any money. Look at this guy. He's got a nice house. He's got two cars there, sitting there. Why would I want to do that? Huh? But the Lord said, do it. And there's a couple of things I learned about it, and that is if I was going to obey God, if I was wrong, I had to learn that it's not going to kill me if I'm wrong. But it's still a nice gesture to give someone. I thought, he's going to close the door on me. I said, what do you think I am? A bum? You're giving me $100? I don't need your $100. And that was all in my mind. See, the devil was playing with me. So I had to learn how to follow the Spirit of God. And God led me to walk in the Spirit by using money in my life. And I heard this a lot of times. I heard Brother Hagin say this. If God's going to learn to teach you how to walk with the Spirit, he's going to teach you about money. He's going to teach you how to tithe. He's going to teach you how to give offerings. This is a hard part for sometimes people. So in that time, I went to ask, and I'm glad that person really was honorable and was able to graciously accept my gift and say, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. On the other hand, I went out there. I didn't have $100 anymore. And the devil played with that in my mind. Now you don't have $100. How are you going to live for the next week and a half? Well, we live by faith. So you have to learn. So anyway, those are bunny trails. That's not in here. So you cannot worry and be in faith at the same time. You can't get all the spiritual people around you to pray for you about certain something. And it won't work for you unless you learn how to not hang on to your worries. You can get everybody to pray for you, but if you're going to hang on to your worry, it's not going to work. When you worry, you have to cast your care. When you worry, you have to learn how to cast your care upon God, learn what to do with the worry, so that you can be free and let Him carry them. So learn to release your cares on the Lord. Learn to release. Learn to put your cares on into His hands. No one is saying that it's going to be easy. This is going to be an easy thing. No one is saying here, nobody in this room that I know has said, oh, it's so easy to put cares on the Lord, man. I tell you, there are different kinds of levels of cares you have. If you have a real dreadful illness and the doctor says, you got 6 months to live, and it's easy to get emotionally and entangled with anxiety. But if you have a problem with something, you need $10, well, that's not going to kill you. That's a different level of worry. So different kinds of worries that people have, and I realize that, but it's the same rule for every one of them. And you have to look at the scripture and know God. When you know God, you know He's going to take care of you. No matter what, how big the problem is. You say, well, yeah, God can do that. Yeah, it's easy. But He can't do this over here. And so, yes, He can do everything if we follow Him. So no one's saying it's going to be easy to cast your cares upon the Lord to practice this prayer of commitment. Anyone mature in the Lord can tell you that it ain't so. Anybody here can say, well, hey, I know it's been a tough time. I learned to cast my care, and I've done it, and I'm having a hard time trying to stay afloat here. I'm fighting by faith because I cast my care on the Lord. But this thing keeps coming back to me. And I'm tempted to take it back. So what you have to do is keep fighting. They say, I'm not taking back that concern. Are you doing okay? Or are you just too tired to go on? Oh, so I can't make it. Oh, I got to go for a smoke. I got to eat something. I got to go to the bathroom. Well, some of you didn't make it this morning. Well, thank God that you were online. I appreciate you. We still love you. And I know some people are, it's funny, people can't stay. I watched hockey game for 3 hours. I enjoy, drinking, eating my chips, oh, come on. But it comes to church, just, we're talking about life and you living and how to get out of trouble. You go, oh. I mean, if you just listen, right, you'll be okay. I remember my mom, used to tease her. She used to go to bingo like 3 or 4, 6 hours. Smoke everywhere. But she can't come to church for an hour. You go to the bar all night, 4 or 5 hours, even drink for a whole week. Spend all your time, all the energy, all your money, but you can't spend half an hour. 40 minutes. Like, I'm teasing, but this is true, isn't it? The devil just make you sleepy. Ah. The devil comes to church. But don't fool yourself. He does come to church, and he's waiting for you in the car right now. He's going to give you all your cares back again. Yeah, that works in church, all right. That pastor, he did a great job, but listen, yeah, you got something really to worry about. So God, I remember listening to Brother Hagin. He said God dealt with him on the bed of sickness. He's 17 years old. He's on his deathbed. And he's worried. He said, I'm worrying myself quicker to die. The doctor said, you can't live. You got a deformed heart and deformed chest cavity, and you got a blood sickness that alone will kill you, is killing you. So he's 17 years old. He said, I'm going to just go read this Bible. And I'm going to follow whatever it says to do. My answer has to be in there because medical science says I have to die. And he had something on inside of his spirit that says, you don't have to die. He said, where's that coming from? Well, Holy Spirit is talking to him on the inside that you don't have to die. You don't have to die early. So he followed that and he started to read the Bible. And he said, okay, God, I'm going to do whatever it says. I'm going to follow everything it says. If I understand it, then the scriptures, I'm going to follow everything it said until he got to a place where it says in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about anything. He said, I can't do that. He said, my family was world champion warriors. My grandfather passed it on to my grandmother, my father. My father has passed it on to me. He said, we're world champion warriors. We could worry you under the table. We carry burdens like nobody else. So how many people understand you learn how to worry from your parents? The key person in your life is your mom and your dad. And they've taught you how to worry since you're 5 years old. What to worry about and how much to spend time on it. And so some of you have become professional at it. And you think it's normal. So I'm looking at Craig right now. And Pastor Steve, you've done it pretty good with Pastor Steve. The only time he worries is when his wife comes around. Like Pastor Ken. I got to tell you some funny stories about me and Pastor Ken. It's not the time and place for it. Anyway, praise God. Now, God says, turn all your cares on Him. He casts all your cares upon the Lord. And when you cast your cares upon the Lord, you can't feel sorry for yourself. You can't be having a pity party if you cast your cares upon the Lord, because the devil will come around you and he'll play you a nice song. Tear coming out of the side of your eye. And you watch it like, you play your 70 slow hits. Just made exactly for you on Spotify. By the way, Spotify wants some money. You get your Spotify, the sad songs of the 70s. You can actually get those. Because I got some of them. Country tune, the twangiest, saddest country tunes ever. We are going to edit this program. Pretty good. So if you're feeling sorry for yourself and having a pity party, you haven't cast your care upon the Lord yet. That tells you right there that if you're feeling bad, feeling sorry about your what disadvantage you have and why you can't have that, and poor me, you haven't released your care upon the Lord. It's impossible to be in faith and to act that way, to be that way. So there's a lot of folks that haven't done this. I learned to be quiet. Yes, my wife, I don't talk about anything. She thinks I'm Spock. I said, don't you have any kind of feelings? My kids tell me a lot of times, Dad's like Spock. He don't have any kind of feelings. I said, I got feelings. I don't always tell everybody. If I told you everything, what kind of dad would I be? Crying on your shoulder. And so if God has them, you don't have to have a pity party. If He has them all, if He has every care, then you don't have to worry. You don't have to gripe and complain and be sad and just really, be bothered by them. Many keep their cares when they go to prayer. They go to prayer but they're not ready to release their prayer to God totally. They just go to God and pray, and so God, you have it. But then they come out of their prayer time, and then they start talking negative to the first guy that met them. How you doing? Oh, let me tell you what a bad time I've had. That tells me exactly right there that you have not cast your care upon the Lord by faith. Let me tell you how bad it's been. Oh, it's been horrible. And then if there's nobody comes on, you make sure you phone someone. And invite them over. Let's talk about something. Oh, let me tell you something here. So you're going to rehearse it with somebody. And because you're there eating their food, you say, yeah, that's really bad, isn't it? I'm not telling anything about anybody here. I'm just saying that I've heard people say these things. Right? So they tell everybody what they're going through, what a hard time they've had and they're having. They're trying to get everyone to feel sorry for them. That's not prayer of faith. And that's not casting your cares upon the Lord. So you'll have to deal with solving your worry problem first before you can get to the prayer of faith, or before you can get to the prayer of casting your cares. You have to deal with worry. Accusing God that God is treating other people better than you is wrong. God is always right. He's always right. He's a God of justice and loving and kind, and we blame God for a lot of stuff that He's never even done. Here's something that you need to look at. God is in control. Listen, God is not in control of this world. He's not. You got to get over that to understand that God is not controlling the world. I heard of one reporter who went to church, and he heard people saying there, oh, God is in control. And I've seen people that are actually ministers of the gospel for a number of years. They say, oh, don't you worry out there. God is in control. He's not in control. Only if you allow Him in your life, but I can't make God be in control of somebody else's life. You can have God control in your life, what you give Him. If that was the case, if God's control, I can make everybody do what I want them to do. If you didn't know what the will of God is, you can pray, God, make that person quit smoking right now. Make him quit drinking, or make, you know. So, you know, listen here. For instance, there are many people that are starving in the world. Many people that are sick beyond repair. Scores of people dying in pain. There's numerous wars that are going on. Violence all over. Murder going on. People stealing, lying, cheating. Lots of injustice around the world. In our own country, in our backyard. Many people lacking basic needs. Like just water. Housing. Whole countries are in poverty, dire need. Economically, are just having a hard time. And so people are saying, well, God is in control. And so this guy who went to this church, this reporter, and said, if God is in control, as those people said in that church, then He's got things in a heck of a mess, he said. God is I don't want to be that kind of God. I don't want that kind of God in my life. He's got everything in mess. If I give, so when I listen to me, when I ran from the church. Of course, I was in the residential school system, and they told me a lot of stuff in there what God was doing. The fact that I was impoverished and suffered a lot of stuff, and so when I was away from the my whole experience with the residential school and then the training school, because was acting out, and so they put me in a boys' home down Eastern Ontario, and I got into addictions, and I couldn't get control of my addictions. It was killing me, destroying me. So I went to AA. They told me that you have to give your life over to God. I said, I'm not going to give life over to God. Look what God did in my life. I was just running away from that guy. They said he was in control. Look at my home. God was in control. I don't want to follow that kind of God. But they said to me, you know, follow God of your understanding, of what you can understand what God, your conception of what God is. So actually, it opened a door for me. That God could be something a little different than what I understood. So it helped me. He didn't say pick a certain God that you want. No, he's just saying of your understanding, of where you under, what do you understand? Because God will talk to you on the inside of you, or He talk to you and say, that's not me. I never did that. And I thank God for AA that taught me that. He steered me right to Jesus. Because I studied those old history books and found out these two guys who came to develop this program, they were people who came to Jesus. The founder came to Jesus Christ. Got saved in some kind of TED meeting. knelt down and accepted Jesus. Then he felt so good, he went back out drinking again. But then he was in the hospital. He said, God, I want you for the first time. I wanted you. Then he changed his life. And I remember as a young man, in my early 20s, I said, if Bill Wilson did that and he got sober, I want that. So Jesus, come into my life. See, God will use anything, everyone, any way to get you well, if you're honest. Like a lot of people say, well, I wouldn't go to... No, listen. God will use whatever to get you to Him. And sometimes we can only accept things at a certain level. Well, that's an extra story. We won't charge for that one. So sometimes we accuse God for bad situations and blame Him for unfair advantages or disadvantages we have in our situations in our lives or around the world. It's the God of this world that's messing things up. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the God of this world. Jesus said in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's talking about this world as the valley of the shadow of death where the devil is Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, Amplified says, we know for a fact that we are of God and that the whole world around us lies in the power or sway of the evil one, opposing God and His precepts. That's why Romans says, don't be conformed to this world, because the standards and practices of this world is operated by the enemy. You learn to worry, as I mentioned, from your family. And we need to disassociate from those thinking and begin to learn how to grapple, or at least learn to turn our minds on the Lord. So you never have to worry again. From this day forward, after you hear this service, you don't have to ever worry again. It's like you don't have to ever be in fear again. You might feel fear, but you don't have to fear. You don't have to give into it. I decided, for me, that I was not ever going to be afraid. Now, did I ever get afraid again after? Yes, I felt afraid, but I said, I'm not going to bow to that. I'm just going to stay just the way I am. I decided never to talk about people. As far as I can understand, if the Lord checked me, He'll check me. But I'm not going to say bad about other churches, other pastors, or anybody else and talk them down, trash talk them. I'm not going to do that because I don't like people doing it to me. I won't do it. I made that commitment a number of years ago now. It worked for me. If somebody did talk about me, I don't even worry about it. And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to die, because if I die, I know where I'm going. I don't go, what if I die? Well, praise God. I know where I'm going. I told my wife the same thing the other day. See, if you got yourself situated with God, you're not going to be worried. If any project doesn't go through, I said, no big deal. You know, if God is not in something, I don't want to do it either. Unless the Lord builds the house, they did labor in vain. So tell God, God tells us not to ever worry. We don't do so much the first part. He says, don't be anxious about anything, don't worry, worried, but in every circumstance by prayer. So He tells us, don't be worried about anything. So worry is a sin, because Philippians 4:7 says, God says, don't worry. We must act on it. And still, many continue to worry, even though God says not to worry, because He has their backs. Romans 14:26, don't go out on me yet. We got a few more minutes. This refers, look at Romans 14:26. But if you have any doubts whether or not you should eat something or sinning, if you go ahead and do it. Now, listen, you can go out and eat bacon if you want. I eat bacon. I know Pastor Ken eats bacon. I eat bacon. One time I went to his mother's home, and she gave me this big, thick bacon. I enjoyed every meal of it. For you're not following your own convictions. For you are not following your own convictions. If you do anything you believe that is not right for you, you're sinning. So if you have in this conviction, God says, don't worry. If you're convicted that this is wrong, once you know it, then you're not obeying God. God says, don't worry. So that's called sin. So people call it a bad habit. It's more than a bad habit. So once you understand for something for what it is, then you're not gonna do it. I don't want you to be sad about this because, listen, this is not your best friend. Okay. Say, oh, it means I don't have to worry. Yeah, you don't have to worry anymore. This refers to everything in the world. That you got, if you got a conviction about something, don't do it. Psalm 119, verse 30 says, the entrance of that word gives light. So once you have light come in you, that's revelation, knowledge of God's word, then you should walk in that light. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light to my path. Now, God gives you illumination about his word, then we need to follow that path wherever how he leads us in certain things. I'm talking about worry. Once you find out the light came on, hey, worry is a sin. It's not good for me to worry. I shouldn't worry. God says, don't do it. 1 John 1, 7 and 8 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We need to walk in the light of the word that says sin is a worry, or at least worry is a sin. And we should walk in the light of it and say, hey, I'm not going to worry anymore because God says not to do it. And if I say, yeah, Lord, thank you for forgiving me, he'll cleanse you. James says this, James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and him doeth not, to him it is sin. That's a good scripture for that. 1 Samuel 12:23 says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. There's a man, Samuel, there talking to their king. And God wanted him to pray. So worry is a sin. It says right in Scripture. 1 Samuel 12:23, the New Living says, as for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you. So that's the will of God for him to pray for that, you know, king, for that person. If God told you to pray for somebody and you didn't do it, that's an infraction against you. God, your heart will be convicted that, hey, you did wrong by not praying for that person when God called you to do it. Holy Spirit is just like the Word. So you need to ask forgiveness. If you worry, you need to ask God to forgive you for not doing what he said in his word. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he will forgive you and cleanse you. So the Amplified of 1 John 1, 19 says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess it, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not conformity to his will and his purpose. So we have to learn to cast all our cares upon him and believe that he'll take care of every one of our needs, that we don't have to carry any burden, any worry, any concern on ourselves. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is our shepherd. He's going to care for you. He's going to protect you. He's going to lead you. He's going to feed you. So there's no sense in worrying about yourself or feeling sorry for yourself because God will take care of everything. Now, you'll be tempted to worry again at some point in life, even though if you made this decision. But if you make a decisive decision about it, you won't have this problem anymore. Yes, you'll be tempted to have worries again, but you'll be able to fight it off. If God says don't do it, then you can do it. God would not tell you to do something that you cannot do. He can say, oh, I told you. God didn't say, I told you, oh, you know what? Miss Grace, I told you not to worry, and I see you worrying a lot. I'm sorry you can't do it. No, he says, go ahead, don't worry. He says, okay, Lord. And he's going to give you the power to do it. Don't worry. So when the devil comes to you and tells you to worry, he says, I don't believe in worry. I quit worrying. I'm not going to worry about it. I mean, like sometimes some things are so much more easier to worry about, right? The habit's there, or the training has been there to do that, and because it's some things are harder to fight off than other things. But the more we do it, the better we become at it. The prayer of faith and the prayer of commitment go together. These two prayers, when you release your faith in God and commit your cares to God, you don't have to ever worry about that again. Because Jesus said, don't be anxious about anything. We see that in Matthew 6:25. He says, don't worry about any everyday life. Don't worry about anything. As parents and caregivers, as leaders in churches and leaders of different things and leaders and business owners and whatever, we have to learn to take our cares to God, put it on Him, follow His word, be in faith, and commit to Him and refuse to worry. Okay, everybody stand up. Let's make this confession together. Say this together in unison. Say, I thank God. I never have to worry again. Say, worry is a sin. I'm not a sinner. I walk by faith and not by sight. I thank God that I can cast every care, every burden, every anxiety on the Lord, and He'll take care of them. Now listen, people are going to think you're weird when you do this. They're going to tell you, oh, you should be worried. Look at that, things happening. And the devil will come up to you, you should be worried about it. You know, you're going to be really weird to people when you start doing, when you start living this way, because they say to you, oh, listen, you know, that guy is so stupid. He's not smart enough that he doesn't know how to worry. He should be worried. Look at his family. Look at his daughter. Look at his son. Look at his wife. Look at his business. And you say, well, no, I don't care. I'm not worried about that. God's taking care of it. I cast it on the Lord. And next time somebody says, how are you doing? He says, I'm doing fine. People say, I know he's lying because everybody in his family is sick with COVID. He lost his job. He's going to lose his car. No, he said, no, I don't care. God's done. He's taking care of it. Everybody say, he's taking care of it. Say, I don't have a care in the world. I committed it all to him. Hallelujah. Let's